Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
We've had a letter. I'm ever so pleased when we get a letter. It's ever so good and it's an ever so nice one. It says thank you on the front of it. And inside it says, to Mick and Tony, thank you so much for having the Coddington and Winthorpe cricketers on your show. They really enjoyed it and the All-Stars numbers have gone from 4 to 18. And that's from the boys and girls at Coddington and Winthorpe. I do thank you for that because it does make it, you know, worthwhile doing when somebody takes out time to do that. And I'm so pleased that if we had any input into the fact that you've gone from 4 to 18 at that All-Stars cricket, then good. That gets the week off on a good sign. It really does. No Tony Smith for a couple of weeks, eh? Oh, even better news. It gets better all the time, doesn't it? He's gone to the rehab clinic again, but he'll be back. So it's guest presenter time now, and we start with the current holder of the Newark and Sherwood Sports Personality of the Year Award. Of course, that is Lynn Coombs, and Lynn's going to tell us about the first 6 months of her sporting year. Well, the first 6 months of her sporting injuries, I think, is probably more to the point. You win the award and you get injured. That's what it's all about, I suppose. A couple of weeks ago, Hester Dakin came in. Remember, she's the 13-year-old captain of the Notts under-15 cricketers. She had a bit of a special Saturday at cricket. She's going to tell us a little bit about that. And the wonderful Becky Gallup. She's going to join us on the phone at around 10 to 8 to tell us what she got up to on Friday night. Well, at least the running part of it. The wine would have kicked in after. Let's find out what else happened in a very hot weekend in Newark. So who was the star? Was it Becky Gallup who came home second Notts Lady in the County 10K Championships held on Friday? As I say, more from Becky later on in the show. Olivia Mathias, she came fifth in the European Junior Triathlon Championships in Austria. That's something I've got to get organised as well. Adam Holland, this is a good one. Unbelievably, ran and walked 69 miles between Carlisle and Newcastle in 10 hours and 30 minutes. He won the race, and that was Saturday in that heat. And on Sunday, Stacey Atkins completed the Staffordshire Ironman in just over 8 hours. Even going outside on Sunday was a feat. Never mind about doing that.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
So, very warm welcome to Lynn. A few months since we last talked to you. A bit later on, we'll find out what you've been up to or not been up to, as the case may be, and you can tell us what the future is going to bring for you as well. Just want to go back on these sports stories. Becky's going to join us on the phone, but you know Becky, don't you?
I do know Becky.
You know Becky. You forgot how to work that mic, haven't you? That's better. You need to. She's going to come in and second fastest lady at 10K in the county. That don't come as a shock, does it? Really?
No. I've seen her running. I've seen her training. She's just phenomenal.
Olivia Mathias, who was your partner in crime.
She was. Great to see her doing so well.
She's doing well, but the bottom two are the ones that really sort. I mean, the first two I'd expect it. Well, the other two I'd expect it. But Adam Holland. It's called the Rat Race. And it's the race between Carlisle and Newcastle. 69 miles. 10 hours and 30 minutes it took him. He won it.
I just think he did.
You run some and you walk some. But in that heat, I mean, Carlisle to Newcastle isn't even flat. It's not along the roads. They take you off-road and up and down these big hills.
It's not like Lincolnshire, is it?
No. It's phenomenal, really. It really is. And then we go on to Stacey Atkins. Stacey runs the Striders, and she entered herself into the Staffordshire Ironman. She completed it in just over 8 hours, which she tells us is her worst ever time for an Ironman. This is Sunday, which, you know, I mean, come on. Yeah. It's not a normal day. She did get a PB in the swimming. I think I'd have slowed down in the swimming. Just trying.
I would have stayed there a bit longer.
For the record, it's a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike ride, and a half marathon.
In 8 hours?
In 8 hours.
In all that heat?
Yes. And she was complaining that it was the worst ever.
I'd just be chuffed I got round.
I'd be amazed if I got round. And this is a setup for the Bolton Ironman, which comes up in July, which is double that.
Is she doing that one too?
Yes.
So she's this as a training?
Insane.
Ironman.
Man, she's a teacher as well. So it's got to be something.
Comments.
So, you know, it's got to be something being a teacher. It's got to be. But, I mean, that is just fantastic. I was in Whitley Bay yesterday with the boys, and the sea breeze was, thank you very much. That was very nice. But it was still, we went out for a bike ride, which is about sort of 3 miles to the old lighthouse and back. That did me for the day. Never mind about that.
It was just crazy heat.
It was just crazy. It really was.
Competing in that heat.
He never fancied an Iron Man. Not an Iron Man. An Iron.
Carefully, it's trouble. I don't think I've got the dedication or the ability at all to compete anything like that.
You see, after the hockey's finished, you need something else, don't you?
I do. But you need to persuade me into something other than that, I think. I think I might be going for bowls or something like that.
I think there's a lot of persuading that you for what you're going to be doing next season to come. Moving on to the national skiing, and I know you're a sports fan. You keep your eye on most sports, and Forrest was taken over. I mean, it was a great fire, whatever his name was. He was going to rule the world, and Forrest was going to be back to the glory days, and that didn't work. And now they've been taken over by this Greek shipping magnate, who I stand no chance of saying. But the incoming chairman, Nicholas Randall, has described the current state of Nottingham Forest as not fit for purpose. He's apparently written to all the season ticket holders. We know that the necessary infrastructure is not in place to take the club forward. It is clear to any outsider the club has not been run as it should be. How do people get away with this?
So who's he getting at there then? The coaches?
The previous owners.
The owners.
The previous owners. They've had more managers in the last 5 years than you would care to think about. And we believe the vast majority of supporters know what is needed to reinvigorate the club. The first requirement is stability. Stability is one of the most precious commodities in football, and it has more or less been entirely lacking from this club for a long time. We are fundamentally committed to ensuring the club enjoys a period of stability, and we want to assure supporters we are here for a long time. Randall also gave his backing to manager Mark Warburton, who took over in March and narrowly managed to prevent the club from being relegated. We believe he is the man, he is the perfect fit. Well, you do need stability, don't you? You can't change your coach every 5-10 minutes.
And you can't get the results in changing your coaches every 5 minutes. It's got to be a plan, and a long-term plan to get where you need to be.
With hockey, and hockey at your level, hockey at Newark's level, it's Paul Halfpenny's way, isn't it? He breeds in all the adult sections. Paul takes them, and Paul's style of hockey is what they play. And you know, three championships out of seven teams, or four, whatever, it's got to be right. But that's the style. You were at a lot bigger club than Newark, or you are still with a lot bigger club than Newark and Belper. Is it the same? Are you all told or tried to be taught or practice the same style? So if you play for the women's ones or the women's sixes, you're trying to play the same way.
I think there is an element of trying, and yes, I do think it does work, but practically, when you've got people that are coaching you and all these people that are volunteering to coach, to be honest, quite the first team coaches are often paid coaches, but they've got full-time employment as well. But you need to have that depth throughout the club in order to bring the players up, and then also have the movement through the teams and up and down in the teams when you need to fill gaps. But I think so many clubs do run their teams separately, and the coaches run their team, and that coach runs their team, and that coach runs their team, rather than looking at the bigger picture and playing the same systems, the same styles, etc.
But then when you those are the sort of clubs where you don't have any movement either, are they?
No. Because people
you
will
play
then,
for that team.
I like playing for that team.
Yeah.
And then we'll make excuses, reasons, not to move up into another team. No, I don't like his coaching style, her coaching style. I don't like playing for them. And they get comfortable in their teams as well, rather than it being the bigger picture of the club. Because to me, your best players should always play for the first team. And then you backfill from there. You shouldn't say, oh, I'm a third team player. Because if you're good enough, you should be playing for the twos.
Belp is in, what, the third tier of hockey?
We've just got relegated. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning.
That's all right.
relegated into Midlands Prem. So out of National North
into Midlands Prem. So let's just keep it as a national side. Because I'm interested in what you've just said. Even at that standard, which you think is the second or third tier, do you get people saying, I don't want to play for you, I want to play with my friends in
some you do,
the fives or
again,
the sixes? Or
sometimes I think it's harder for women than men because they have the family commitments and they're juggling the kids and they don't want to do the 3-4 hour trip to Durham to then be there 2 hours before the game to then play, to then do the 3-4 hours back. And you've got childcare, and you know, it's just juggling everything. Where I'm not saying completely it's easier for the blokes, but in my experiences, and when both mums and dads play hockey, it's normally the mums that have to
come back,
juggle a little bit.
We'll come
more.
Back to this one because I want to come back to this one because the New York Ladies are back in Midlands.
They are.
And last time in the Midlands, they was finding themselves at Shrewsbury for a 9 o'clock start or something. It's totally ridiculous. And you must have the same. And I am clueless to why they ever managed that. But you can tell me about that a little bit later. We'll come back to that. One more from the National. And again, it's your opinions that I'll value here. The way the elite sport is funded is cutthroat because results are everything, says 5-time Olympic rowing champion Steve Redgrave. But he does not believe it has created a win-at-all-cost mentality. Bullying claims in several Olympic sports have led to questions over whether winning is put before welfare. If they don't get the results, they don't get the funding. And if you don't get the funding, you can't prepare your team or individuals in the best way possible because it is cutthroat. And he goes on and about funding limits. There's a lot of this bullying talk come into sport of late, especially the Olympic sports. And hockey, your sport, being an Olympic sport, a very successful Olympic sport, so I assume that hockey will get the funding.
Yeah.
But
which allows the players to be funded, which allows them to train with better facilities, more time. They haven't got the pressures then of working full time and then training
so,
in their spare time.
So, our wonderful gold medalists, are they professional?
They're full-time.
They're full-time, are
yeah,
they?
Full-time, based at Bisham Abbey.
And was they full-time many years before the Olympics?
No.
No,
you've got your doctors, you've got your PE teachers that were all part of the squad.
So this has come with the funding?
It has.
So the funding does work, but let's just say that when the Olympics come round again and they make a complete mess of it and get knocked out in the first round, will that the funding then cuts down? The professional side of it then, does that go back out the window?
I don't know particularly about hockey, but yeah, in other sports, if they've not been getting the results, then they've lost their funding. And I have got a friend that is GB kayaker. She works for me full time at school, and then she trains every night. She's on the water. And then every weekend, and it's all self-funding, and she's representing Great Britain. So it's hard for those athletes when only some of them are funded or some of the sports are funded, and it shouldn't be that you need the money to get the results or you need the results to get the money. It's a catch-22, isn't it?
Because you yourself represented England,
mm-hmm.
on the other side of the world.
Is it?
That's why you've got the greatest honour you've ever got in your sporting life.
Takes place in my lounge.
But you didn't get funded for it, did you?
No funding.
That was Bank of Lynn.
It was.
And I can't work that one out, because you're representing your... I've never had a moan about this before, but you're representing your country. They've asked you to represent them.
Yep.
But, and then they're saying, oh, we'd love to have you along. You can fund it.
But again, if you couldn't fund it,
you don't go.
And when you think of all the age categories for Masters hockey and how many players that is, you're talking over 1,000 people. So then some people say, well, why should we fund all these people? Because what are they going to get? Is they're not the up and coming? And all the funding and all the support comes through grassroots. At Belper, I've got a teammate and she is in the development for the under-18s, England under-18s. Got the same kit as me for England. She got all hers free and I had to buy all mine.
I see what you're saying. She's the future, maybe, yeah. She should be looked after. And I know there's only so much money out there and it could go on a long time. What about this bullying thing? Have you ever seen it or come across it in because you do play to nice standard,
yeah,
and it is win, not at all costs, but it is, you know, winning becomes very important.
But I think you're playing high level competitive sport, of course winning's important, and you're there because you are competitive, you want to win, you know. There'll be times where you play for enjoyment, you play to bring on the youngsters, and the result doesn't matter so much. But I think whilst you're playing the best hockey you can be, whatever level that is on the individual, you want to win.
You do it in any sport, don't you? You want to win, but it, some of these coaches seem to be going, oh, this is what's being reported.
Yeah.
That they're going over the top in, I mean, I know if somebody had a go at you, you'd clobber them with your hockey stick. I know that, but some no, you probably have, yes. Some girls probably just go into the corner and cry their eyes out.
They do, and I think some people do get upset about sport because they're so passionate about it and because it means so much to them, and it is your life, and it's not till you get a bit older and a bit older and you realise that your life, although it has revolved around your sport so much, but there are other things as well that has to take priority.
But that's interesting, we'll come back to that. Okay, I'm going to talk cricket for a few minutes now while I think about what question I can ask next to get the answer I want. Okay, time for a bit of cricket, and then we're going to talk to Lynn again about Lynn, really, I suppose. Yes, about Lynn. Started doing the cricketing roundup at the weekend, and one name suddenly sort of bounced off all the social media pages, and that was that little superstar that we had in here the other week, Hester Dakin, and Hester joins us on the telephone. Hester, good evening.
Hi.
Hi. We told you we'd keep an eye on what you was up to, you see. And yeah. We have. Now, on Saturday, tell me who you was playing for?
I was playing for the Collingham third team.
And this was
against Farndon.
At Farndon.
Yeah.
So a pretty mundane match, and not a lot happening, and then it did. Talk us through it.
Yeah. Well, batted first. My dad got about how many did you get? About 84. Oh, 78. Okay, 78. And then I came in the last four balls, got 10 runs.
whack.
and we got a score about 217 something. Then we went into field, and I came in to bowl about 10 overs in, something like that. And my first ball, I got an LBW.
You carry on, Esther. We're listening to you.
And then a couple of overs later, I got a hat trick, which was an LBW, a catch, and then a wicket, just bowling.
So you got everything, really. The perfect hat trick.
Yeah, pretty much. And I got a catch as well.
Is that the first hat trick that you've taken in senior cricket?
In senior cricket, yeah. I think I've had some in
junior. What, okay, the first one, yeah, great, fantastic. And then the next ball, that was the catch.
Yeah.
A difficult catch, or?
It was it was quite an easy catch, to be honest, but he just chipped it up to me quite.
And then did it dawn on you what the next ball was?
Yeah, I was like, oh, right, hat-trick ball. I focused myself.
Was there a bit of a break between the second and third then while everybody had a word, or did it just settle down? And
it was just kind of like, there was not much pressure, to be honest. It was just kind of relaxed, and I bowled straight and full, and it worked. And they all came in, we had about 3 or 4 slips. And everybody was frustrated.
Brilliant. And how did Fondon take it?
I think they're a bit shocked, to be honest. They weren't really expecting me to.
They've not come up against you before.
Yeah.
And what did
my dad's friends out?
Fathers are always sort of the biggest critics. So what did father make of it?
What did you think of it?
That was fantastic. Everybody was very appreciative of her, and slap her on the back, and everybody at the club coming up and shaking her hands and everything like that, because it's a fantastic moment in cricket, isn't it, to get a hat-trick. I've never been a bowler, so I've never been anywhere near that, so...
Oh. OK. That shouldn't have happened. We seem to have completely lost them. What we'll do is... panic, that's the best thing to probably do, and we'll try and get them back in a couple of minutes. He did say he'd not got much of a signal, so we're going to try and get our producer on the job, and try and get them back. So, good old British Telecom. There you are, Mr. Producer. If you can do the honours for me, it always happens like that, don't it? You're just going well. She's just super. And this is a young girl. She's 13 years old, and she's already captaining the Notts under 15 girls cricket team.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
You know, and she came in here the other day, and like many of these youngsters that come in here, no nerves. No. If you're captain of a cricket team at 13, you can't have nerves, can you?
You can't.
You know, especially a county cricket team.
And when you've got such quality players in your squad as well, and obviously older, she does so well.
She did absolutely fantastic, and she got this hat-trick, as I was talking through. She plays for Collingham seconds and thirds. Here we go.
Hi, Mick.
Hello, David, you're back again. Well, you see, you will live in these villages. There's no
terrible
connection
here. The signal's absolutely awful, whichever phone you've got. So, yeah. It's a nice evening to sit out on the green, anyway.
You see, it doesn't take long. The power of radio doesn't take long. I've already got a Facebook message. That's because Dacres does not pay his telephone bill.
I wonder who that was.
No names mentioned, but the surname's Pipes.
Yes, there's lots of pipes in the village as well, yes.
All right, the first name's David.
Good. Very good.
So, the first senior hat-trick in adult cricket. That's going to stick with her for a long time, isn't it?
A long time, and particularly when we got back to the club, everybody was very generous and shook her hand and everything, and certainly the Farndon players were fine about it. They were quite impressed, I suppose. It's been a very, very long, hot day. So whoever batted first looked like winning, to be honest, because I think whoever fielded for 2.5 hours in that heat was going to be suffering a bit. But it was a great game of cricket and a very, very memorable moment.
And she's still on, she's going to the West Indies in August still, is that still on the cards?
She's got to West Indies. She's got a game on Friday against Durham, at Caythorpe. So she's got on under 15 games then, and she's very excited about going to Barbados, not unsurprisingly, I suppose.
Good stuff. David, Hester, thank you both so much.
And, thank you very much. Thanks for taking an interest.
And congratulations to her, because that's a fantastic achievement.
Smashing.
Lovely. Thanks, Mick. You so much. Thank you. David Dakin there, and a very proud dad, I think.
I should think he is.
So let's have a quick look at the rest of the world of cricket. We've already told you about Esther. So elsewhere, Chris Dobby led from the front with 59 as Balderton came out on top at Gedling, and they brought back a full 20 points, which does them the world of good. Collingham first team took on league leaders Wollaton at Dalefield. Batting first, Fahad Ul Akit 86 and David Pipes 46. and they helped set up a target of 214 after early wickets. And Nottingham side shut up shop, leaders of the division shutting up shop, terrible, to finish on 129 for 7 off 50 overs. New signing Lee Fazakerley there, 12 overs, 4 for 22. Farndon's first team season hit a new low, bowled out for 61 at Gedlin in Sherwood, a 10 wicket defeat there for the Marsh Laners. Newark R&M won again by 8 wickets at Caythorpe. Craig Drury 3 for 32 and Richard Andrew ensuring maximum points. And with Beaver seconds losing, that's enough to put the Kelham Road side top of the table. Mr Smith will be pleased. RHP and Basford Mill tied their match, both sides ending up on 182. David Nicholson's 5 for 24 was a star turn for the Works. A bad day for Fiskerton and Ferguson, a heavy defeat at West Bridgeford, and a defeat also for Newark R&M's 2s by 151 runs at Wollaton. So, where does all that leave them? Collingham 3rd and Bolton 5th in Division A, Fiskerton and Ferguson 4th in C, Farndon unfortunately still rock bottom. In E, Newark R&M top the table, Flintham are 2nd in F, and RHP are 5th in Division L. And that leaves me to ask, because I didn't know, how Bolton seconds got on with Connor Tansley playing, and Lynn keeps a very close eye on Connor these days. Do you keep a close eye on Connor's cricket?
I inquire. I know that he's played both days this weekend. Which played over in Sutton Bonington yesterday. Unfortunately, we were car hunting, so we didn't get over to go and watch. But no.
Connor Tansley is how old?
At 16.
16, and you'll work that one out, any sports fans, that he is the son of Chuck. And of course, Chuck and cricket and football is fairly much of a legend in this town. And I am working very hard to get father and son into this studio, because I'm sure there's going to be many, many stories they can tell us.
We'll keep trying.
But they're a bit more shy than Lynn.
No, you just don't bully them as much.
Don't bully them as much. I don't bully. You don't bully in sport. Steve Redgrave says you don't bully in sport. Let's find out what the national headlines are.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
Bayern Munich has taken the unusual approach of officially dismissing rumours of their interest in Cristiano Ronaldo. It's reported the Real Madrid forward wants to leave Spain and return to Manchester United has been heavily mentioned. In an article on Bayern's website headlined Hoax of the Day, the chairman Karl-Heinz Rummenigge said speculation linking them with a move for Ronaldo must be consigned to the realms of fantasy. The Leeds director of football, Victor Ota, has also referred to Ronaldo in saying he's optimistic in keeping hold of Chris Woods. The New Zealand striker was the Championship's top scorer last season with 27 goals. He says he's promised them that Woods will stay, but he doesn't think they'll be able to afford Ronaldo. And the Chinese Super League clubs now face a 100% tax on signings. It would effectively double the fee paid for Wayne Rooney or Diego Costa, two players linked with a move to China. Its Football Association's proposed measures will curb big spending, with the division's transfer window already open. Oscar moved from Chelsea to Shanghai for £60 million last summer, one of a number of high-profile deals.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
OK, let's talk about Lynn Coombs. When she puts the phone down and she's texting Chuck, you know.
No, I'm not.
Chuck, how did Connor get on at the weekend?
No, I know the results, they just weren't the way they wanted them to be.
Right. So, last December, you collected your award. You was very pleased to collect your award.
It
was a very proud winner of the award. So, 6 months down the line, what's happened? Has it been all good? Has it been all bad? Or is there a bit of a mixture in there?
Sporting, personally wise, it's not been great. Injured, not playing to my potential, not doing as well as I thought, you know, just not getting my injury sorted, unfortunately. So basically not really playing a lot, and then only making the fringe squad for the England team this year, which I know I won't be going to any competitions. It's the Home Nations next weekend in Dublin, and it's the Euros in Tilburg this August. So I've got a decision to make as to whether I get sorted, hopefully we'll get sorted over the summer holidays, and trial again next summer for England. I played Midlands Masters. I was captain for Midlands. In May, we had a tournament over at Cannock, regional tournament. That went well, apart from, unfortunately, we came runners-up on one goal.
You're good at that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the hallmark of one-goal runners-up.
So close, but, yeah. And that's the third year I've played Midlands Masters, and the third year we've come second.
The injury, then, it's been niggling and it won't go away?
No, I've been having some treatment, and then I'm like, enough's enough, and I've had it MRI'd, and I've got a plan now. But again, it comes down to money.
And is that plan got to be an operation?
Possibly, but I've got one route I can go before operation. But again, it's finances, so I'm waiting till the summer holidays so I'm not at work and I can get sorted. And
have you got to a position yet where you might be saying to yourself, well, hang on, this is pouring lots of money into this, I've enjoyed hockey, but I may now have to say thank you, but no thank you?
You know, it crossed my mind, but it kept going. Only because, like I said, I've not played that much at all since January. I was training at hockey at Belper, but not really getting any pitch time at the weekends. I played the Midlands Masters, thoroughly enjoyed it. Loved seeing everybody again, the whole hockey network from all over the country. It was just brilliant. Great weekend at Cannock. And I'm like, I do still want this. And then again, last weekend, I played in a seven-a-side tournament at Newark, which I think is only the second time I've ever played in Newark since the Grove and Paviers finished, well, gosh, years ago.
Read into that what you will, listeners. I'm making no comment whatsoever.
I can't work out how many years ago it was. and played that seven-a-side mixed tournament and thoroughly enjoyed that. Again, didn't play to my potential, but I did what I could, you know, restrictively. But that was a great tournament organised by Newark, some great opposition. Great to see young players, old players, male and female, all playing together, and great spirit.
Belper then didn't have the best of seasons, did they? That was the season before you was flirting with relegation, really, wasn't you?
Yes. So
not a lot seemed to have happened in the summer, really, and it.
No, we hung on by the skin of our teeth. We came good too late, really, the season before last. Ended up on 15 points, which, you know, kept us in there, really, kept us in National League. But unfortunately, season just gone. We had a couple of results, and the results, again, quite often, I know it's easy to say this, and lots of people say, yeah, but we were the better team on the day, but we just didn't get the results. But it is what it is. You know, we're back to Midlands Prem.
There is a lot in sport, isn't there, that when it's going for you, you just tend to get that little bit of luck which makes it go for you, but when it's not, that luck's not there, is it?
No.
It's not all skill, is it? You've got to have a little bit of luck somewhere, haven't you?
You have, and again, I'm not blaming the umpires, but they do have a huge influence on a game. Whether it be pulling you up, whether it be consistency, whether it be playing advantages, you know, they have such a huge impact on a game. But we can't do it without them, so you have to accept it.
Are the rules of hockey complicated? I mean, I struggle. When I go and watch Newark, well, what's he whistled for now? You know, and I'm getting there a little bit, but even Paul Halfpenny is pulls his hair out from time to time. And, you know, to get Paul to go anywhere off the sort of middle of the road, straight and narrow, then it's hard work. But it seems to be open to misinterpretation quite easily. And is it because it's so complicated, or are they just, quite frankly, getting it wrong?
I think the rules are complicated, just like, you know, generally talking to people, and people are like, oh, I don't understand that, or, you know, people have watched more and more hockey since the Olympics, since the success, and become more involved. But again, a lot of people don't understand the rules. It's not... I find it quite easy because I've been doing it for years, but, you know, there are lots of rules. And like you say, there is a lot of interpretation. It's whether the ball stopped, it's whether it's moving, and, you know, self-passing, and people kind of interchange with it being an invasion sport, but, you know, there are lots of little rules in there.
Of course, there's a get-out, isn't there? You can't play any longer.
To be an umpire?
Mm.
I always umpire every game I play anyway. So, yeah, it is an option. But to me, I love the team game. I love the banter, the change room banter, the social that all comes with it. Where if you're an umpire, you can be...
You're like, on your own.
Yeah, you're on your own, and you're Newark's umpire, but and you umpire Newark at home. But then when Newark away, you go away to another club.
Yeah.
You don't umpire
your own
club all the time.
And the other
depends
thing,
on the level.
The other thing, if you'd have come to the decision that I'm calling it a day,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be an awful long time to regret that decision. You know, somebody once said to me, once you've retired, you are watching it for a long time.
Yeah.
Are you a watcher of hockey? Well, you have been the last few months.
Yeah. It's hard because when you're there playing, everybody else is playing. You know, it's not like it's a football match, 3 o'clock kickoff, and the whole of the town are playing, or a Sunday morning, 10:30 kickoff, you know, and everybody, so you can pick your games.
Mm.
Like, for hockey, the games are back to back, and that's coming back to, like you say, some games are 9 o'clock kickoff at Shrewsbury.
Well, I'm glad you brought me back to that one, because Newark, let's sort of talk Newark for a while, because it was the best season ever,
mm-hmm.
For Newark Hockey Club. How big a Newark Hockey Club, and how good can they be with the resources that they have? And I say the resources that they have, they may have the Magnus, but there's nowhere to go afterwards for a drink. It's difficult to form a club. Is it? I think they do absolutely wonderful in bringing a club atmosphere into it. But
they do, because
there's no clubhouse there.
There isn't, and that's why Newark go back to FlowSurf for their teas, because you have to provide hot food and drinks to the opposition for them travelling. But I know myself, sometimes you've travelled to an away fixture, and when they say, oh, yeah, shower here, but then we just have to go a couple of miles or a mile for teas.
Thanks, like, but no thanks.
No, because it's the opposite direction. Yeah. Yeah, it's only a mile, but it's at least another 3/4 of an hour. And it's not the same now, because you don't drink. People don't drink like I've known footballers, you know. As soon as the game's done.
She's being diplomatic here.
As soon as the game's done, you go in, have a drink and be sociable. Yeah. But unfortunately, I don't know why and what it is, because I'm in FlowSurf sometimes after my game, but socially, and some of Newark teams come back. And it's the same in every club. The teams sit. That team sits over there, that team sits over there, and have a couple of Cokes or whatever. And people don't have the social like they used to.
It's changed completely. I mean, even in football, in Newark, from the days when you used to be there, you know, when Dave Hillier and Maskew would hold court till 10 o'clock in the evening and would all sit there listening and joining in. You know, it don't happen anymore. That's gone.
Yeah.
And I think that's sad. And it's obviously the same in hockey as well. I mean, I've seen him at Newark. I mean, when the men won the championships, won that last game 2 or 3, I'm got in the car and say, okay, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
You know, what?
But then, like, for me at Belper, it's hard to go and be social with them, because then you've got to sort out your transport home. And I mean, I've been out on Christmas dues and that, but I catch the train over to Belper, but then have to beg and borrow and use me brownie points up to to get a lift back at whatever time, you know, just to be sociable and go out with them.
That's
hard.
That's difficult for you, isn't it? Because you work at school in Nottingham, so I suppose Belper onto Nottingham is, well, it's still not easy.
No, it's still an hour.
Yeah, it's not an easy job. Then an hour and whatever back home again. I know you've done it for a long time, but is it difficult?
Not when everything's going well. When you're getting the results, when you're playing well, it's easy. But, you know, when you're not getting your game and you're like, but I've trained all right, and, you know, and then you're not on the starting lineup, and I know it's rolling subs at hockey, but you still want to be in that starting lineup, you know, and just little things come in, and then it does get harder. It gets harder with the weather, it gets harder. Like you say, with work at Belper, we're training 2 hours on a night. You get home at 11:15, and then you've got to try and wind down to get up again at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning for work. But that's only once a week. Other people are training for their sports 4, 5, 6 times a week. So,
yeah,
I'm not creating a sob story.
No. But what you have got to do, as injury permitting and getting that right, and again, I'm not prying, so I'm not going to take it any further than you have got to make a decision whether you're going to carry on going over to Belper or you look elsewhere.
Yeah. I've got quite a bit to think about and sort out over the summer. And I don't know. I'll honestly say it's up in the air at the moment. I'm not going to say I'm open to suggestions because I've got...
You've already got the suggestions
I've
on.
Got suggestions.
Yeah, you've already had them.
Yeah. But no, I honestly don't know, as we sit here now, which way I'm going to go, or where I'm going or what I'm doing. But I do know that I do want to still play.
What comes first, work or hockey?
Has to be work because of the bills. I've got to be practical. That's my mother's side. Not my dad's side.
Your dad's side, we get playing, but don't we?
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got to think about work. But
and again,
you do need your downtime too.
Yeah. And again, off-buffing, I'm not going to take this any further, but you've got decisions to make there which is going to impact on where you play your sport as well.
Yeah.
By virtue of fact, there's not going to be enough hours in the day.
No.
It's going to be a long summer of thinking for you, girl, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
Good job I've got the summer holidays.
It is, isn't it? We're going to get you back after summer and just to see where you have ended up, I think.
Well, I think because I'm going away in a couple of weeks with a couple of my friends that I played hockey with at Paviers all those years ago, and we're off to Thailand for a couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll thrash it out and make a few decisions between us.
You'll be playing for Paviers then.
No, unfortunately, they've gone.
They've gone, have they?
Yeah, Paviers finished years ago.
Did they?
Yeah.
The
hockey.
I mean, I know a name for the rugby, but it's
Because the hockey we used to play at the Grove, because Linda Smith got me into Paviers.
Yes, because that's how you played for Paviers, wasn't it?
Yeah, through Linda and Heather.
That's what took you out of Newark in the first place.
So, but I think, Paviers probably finished 20-odd years ago now.
So it's a meeting of the reunion club then, is it?
That one isn't. Actually, this Saturday...
Oh, crikey.
There's probably a dozen of us that all used to play Paviers together, and we're all meeting in Nottingham for a little get-together.
A sociable drink, shall we say?
Yes. No car taken.
No. I shouldn't
Public
think
transport required.
I shouldn't think there will be. OK, back to the telephone lines, and hopefully... Becky's going to be there. Becky, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Oh, she's there. Becky, got Lynn Coombs in the studio, so Lynn's had more ailments and injuries over the last 6 months since she became a sports award winner. Have a word when we finish at 8 o'clock and get her signed up, I think.
I will.
It's certainly going to sort of keep you occupied.
Oh, dear.
Let's go back to Friday. 10K, but it was also the county championships for the 10K, as I understand it.
Yeah, it was 10 miles.
10 miles, not 10K,
yeah.
10 miles.
10 miles,
that's even worse. 10
it
miles.
It was.
go on then, talk us through it.
It's every year there's county champs for all distances every year, and the 10 miles is always at Home Pierpont, and I hate running there. It's horrible. It's a bit of a wind trap, so even when it's not windy and at home, it's very windy there, and it was quite a hot evening as well. To be honest, it wasn't the most enjoyable of ones I've ever done, but I got a PB by about 4 minutes, so I shuffed a bit for that.
4 minutes?
I lasted it a couple of years ago, so I should have got a PB really, but I was very pleased with that.
And yours, what, third lady then, home, second Knots lady home?
Yeah, third lady home and second Knots, because the winner wasn't from Nottinghamshire.
So in my Radio Newark record books, you are now the second fastest lady at 10 miles in Nottinghamshire.
Well, that did the race.
No. All the best ones would have done the race. The thing is, was you pleased with it?
Yeah, I was. It was kind of... I think if the weather conditions had been a bit better, I was hoping for slightly quicker. But considering how warm it was, and like we had a mile with the wind against us into the finishing straight, which is horrendous. So considering conditions, I was actually really pleased, and I was, super chuffed to be on there on the podium. So really pleased with some of the two that came first and second. You might have heard of Sonia Samuels. She used to be a TV marathon runner. So I was just a bit in awe, really. They were miles faster than me, but it was just very nice to be able to stand there with them.
You shouldn't be in awe of anybody.
No, I shouldn't.
You really shouldn't.
Very good.
Talking of in awe of people, did you catch up and see what Mr. Holland managed over the weekend?
I've seen a little bit, but remind me what he's been doing. I get muddled up. He does so much.
Saturday, 69 miles, Carlisle to Newcastle, across country.
Oh my God, in that heat as well.
And he won it in 10.5 hours.
Of course he won it. I wouldn't expect anything else. I'd be more surprised if he didn't win it.
There's a certain amount of insanity in that one, though, isn't there?
No, there is. That is absolutely crazy. Here's me moaning about 10 miles in an evening, and he's done 60 miles in the day. That's incredible.
And we've got Gareth coming in tomorrow night to tell us what possibly was started by you, one of the best ever weekends for Newark Athletic Club. I'm going to keep it sort of until tomorrow night, but Gareth is absolutely hanging off the ceiling. He expects at least two of them to be going with the GB team to the Bahamas.
It's amazing. I was just looking at my phone all day, just seeing the times results come through. It's just incredible what they've done, Ben and Tom and Anna and Amber and everybody. They're just all the results that came through at the weekend, I was just outstanded by, and I am in awe of all them as well, because I can't keep up with them and them in them sort of races at all. So brilliant,
absolutely fantastic. And Gareth's going to tell us all about that tomorrow. What's next in line for you?
So I am 10k racing on Friday, so I'm sort of double backing my races, so I'm having a bit of an easy training week this week, so I can hopefully be on form for Friday, which is at Long Bennington. It's a summer solstice, so it's quite a nice local one.
All right, yeah.
Yep, and then I'll be back on the track for the Newark AC in our next track league, which is the 9th of July. And I think we're in at Cleethorpe.
Doing the shot put? Becky did the shot put at the last meet. Yeah, Lynn's now picking herself up off the floor.
I'm just thinking... She'll be well fit for the beginning of the hockey season again, then.
She will be. There you go.
What was that?
You'll be well fit and ready for the beginning of the hockey season.
Oh, no, don't tempt me.
I'm just, I haven't been trying anything tonight, but, can you imagine sort of Hannah Coe, Lynn Coombs, Becky Gallup, Sarah Pask, all back in the same team? I mean, come on!
Oh, no, it would be good. We keep threatening to do a little tournament one year and all get back together for a bit of a fun tournament.
I think you should. Becky, thanks for joining us.
Yes, no problem. As ever. Good evening, everyone.
And well done.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I think she's wonderful. She's so bubbly and nice, and she just runs...
She doesn't run, she just glides.
Don't she? She's just... Oh, it's... That's just why
she just makes it look so easy.
It's why we do this job, it really is. So you've got, just to finish off here, I normally say to people, what have you got coming up? What you've got coming up is 2 weeks in Thailand, but an awful lot of decisions to make.
I have. Like I say, hopefully get sorted in the summer and decide. And I just, like I say, I just know that I still want to play, but I just haven't decided where yet and at what standard.
Of course, the highlight of the year so far would have been the Midlands, captaining yes. the Midlands. And without doing that, you might have probably been thinking by now, well, I've enjoyed hockey.
Yeah.
But with doing that...
It has just tempted me again. Like I say, a bit like the tournament last week at Newark, seven-a-side mixed tournament, played with Josh Dent, who was our captain. A successful captain at that, as we won the tournament.
He's at Boots now.
He's at Boots.
Is he doing well?
He is. Yeah. Ever so well, and he's a lovely player. It was nice to play with him and see him, and you know, great potential.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, you don't mind if they're going to go on up that ladder.
Yeah.
And you end up with another Adam Dixon.
Hopefully. And Adam's coming back to Beeston as well.
Yes. Had his year in Holland and
yeah.
got the T-shirt for that one. And
well, he played where I had my World Cup.
Oh, right.
Yeah, a couple of years ago at Rotterdam. So, great setup.
And, of course, they're memories he's going to have now, aren't they, as well?
I'm sure he's got thousands of memories.
Probably none for this radio show. But, but then, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We do wish you the best... with the injury, best with the holiday, and we go for a little break in August, but when we come back early September, we'll know by then where Lynn Coombs is going to be playing air hockey next season. Just suffice to say, there's a lot of people pulling her in a lot of different directions. Who's going to pull more? We'll have to wait and see. Tomorrow night, as I say, it's Gareth Bagley and Newark Athletic Club, and I make no secret, they're on a high.